the next real supply chain crisis will be to vaccinate the world safely, efficiently, and also fairly once a vaccine is approved. So in my opinion, the biggest challenges won't come until after the vaccine is actually on the market.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And before we start the show today, I have a quick announcement to make, and that is I'm starting a new podcast. The new podcast is called Climate 21. It is named after SAP's Climate 21 initiative, so hence the name, the Climate 21 podcast. But although it is named after the SAP Climate 21 initiative, it's not just about that. This podcast will be a podcast where I'll have guests on who are customers of SAP, who are partners of SAP, who are involved in academia, talking about setting context around the climate issues that we're facing, and then highlighting successful climate emission reduction stories. So we'll get guests on from industry talking about the successes they've had in reducing their emissions, how they've gone about it, their carbon emissions reduction strategies that have worked for them, sharing that knowledge so that if you want to know how best to reduce carbon in your organization, you'll get tips and tricks from these podcast episodes. The first podcast is going out next week. It's going out on Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. So if you're listening to this after December 2nd, 2020, it's already happened. Just search Climate 21 in your podcast app of choice and you'll find it. The inaugural episode will be with SAP Executive Board Member Thomas Sauresig, who will be talking about the SAP Climate 21 initiative, and that's going to be really interesting. Do search that one out and listen to it or subscribe to the podcast and get it. The following episodes will be with senior executives from companies like Shell, JP Morgan. I'll have the chief executive officer of Microsoft on to talk about the really impressive programs that Microsoft have put in place to reduce their carbon emissions, amongst others. And rewind. Did I just say the chief executive officer of Microsoft? Sorry, that was a mistake on my part. It's the chief environmental officer of Microsoft. Lucas Joppa is his name. So Lucas Joppa will be joining me in the podcast, amongst others. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled intro. So lots of really fascinating guests coming up. Some great podcasts happening. So do go to your podcast application of choice, search Climate 21 and subscribe to that if you want to know more about successful climate reduction strategies. On with today's show. This show today is a special. It's a two-part. This is the first time I've done a two-part podcast. I'm doing it because it's related to our current COVID situation. It's related to the vaccines, in fact. There's been a number of announcements from Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca about the vaccines they're producing. So back in August, a colleague of mine, Alina Gross, wrote a really interesting blog post about the challenges in vaccinating 7.5 billion people on the planet. It was really good. It was on Forbes. I talked about it at the time on social media. And when the announcements came out about the vaccines, it struck me that this was going to become an issue. This blog post that Alina had written was highlighting some very crucial issues. And then a couple of days later, I got an internal notification about something that SAP is developing called the Vaccine Collaboration Hub. So this is a solution to actually some of the problems that Alina highlighted. So I said, why not do a two-part podcast, one where I bring on Alina And we talk about her blog post and some of the issues she highlighted, and a second one where I bring on someone involved in the Vaccine Collaboration Hub and have them explain what that is and how that's hitting up some of the problems that Alina highlighted. So, without further ado, this is part one, where I speak to Alina about her blog post. And just for context, this episode was recorded after the Pfizer announcement, but before the Moderna and AstraZeneca announcements. So, with that out of the way, Alina, welcome to the show. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, everyone, and thanks for inviting me, Tom. My name is Alina Groß, and I have been with SAP as a working student for around 3 years now. I'm currently studying for a master's degree in international marketing management, which is perfectly complemented by the task at SAP, as I'm part of the global marketing team for SAP Digital Supply Chain. And I'm involved in the creation of many of the interesting content you see online around supply chain, from our blogs on Forbes, and like Tom said, this is also why I'm here today, to our videos on YouTube and the graphics on our social media channels.
Fantastic. And Alina, talk to me about the blog post you wrote, the challenges of vaccinating the world. Let's start initially with how you came up with the idea of writing that blog post.
Yeah, sure. So maybe I'll start with a short summary. So in summary, my blog is about the next supply chain challenge we will most likely face when we try to supply the whole world with vaccine. Here in Germany, where I live, many people thought there was a supply chain crisis when we weren't allowed to buy 2 packs of toilet paper at once in the store. And I've heard in France, people are hoarding red wine, apparently, so that the wine racks are empty. And this made me thinking, because I believe the next real supply chain crisis will be to vaccinate the world safely, efficiently, and also fairly once a vaccine is approved. So in my opinion, the biggest challenges won't come until after the vaccine is actually on the market.
Okay. And we're in a situation now, as I said in the intro there, where the Pfizer have announced in the last few days that they have a vaccine which is 90% effective. And we're expecting announcements in the coming days and weeks from, as I said, AstraZeneca and Moderna, which hopefully will be similarly effective. So we seem to be, you know, you would think coming out the other end of this pandemic or COVID situation. But your blog post seems to think, or seems to posit, that it's going to be a little more complicated than that. So do you want to go through some of the things that you outlined in the blog post and some of the challenges that remain even after the vaccine is approved?
Yeah. So when I say challenges, I'm thinking of the production and also the distribution of hundreds of millions of doses. I mean, after all, there are almost 8 billion people today on this planet. And a big problem I see is that the infrastructure that drives our global economy was scaling down, just as the pharmaceutical companies had to scale up. I read that experts believe it will probably take a couple of years at least, because the manufacturing capacity around the world is limited to produce such amount of vaccine.
There's actually some, you're absolutely right in those points. The reports around, I mean, we only have, you know, scanned data at the moment about the Pfizer vaccine. We've very little yet about the other two because they haven't reported. But in the case of the Pfizer vaccine, the first thing we don't know is if you get long-term immunity from it. So it might be the case that, like seasonal flu, we have to get vaccinated every year. So that'll be a huge challenge if that proves to be the case. I guess another concern is that the Pfizer one, at least, is a two-shot vaccine with 3 weeks between the two shots.
Yes.
So that means we don't have to produce nearly 8 billion. We have to produce about 15 to 16 billion doses of the vaccine. And to your point about cold chain, Most vaccines today ship have to be kept, you know, around 4 degrees C. What's that in Fahrenheit for our American friends? It's around 36 or so, probably, or 38. You know, but this one, the Pfizer one at least, has to be kept at around minus 70 or minus 80. And that there poses huge problems, not so much for the transportation, although that's difficult too, but for the storage in local medical centres, because, you know, fridges are typical fridges that most medical centres would have don't go anywhere near minus 70. So, yeah, lots of challenges. Alina, I was reading that Pfizer and BioNTech, their German partner, who I should also mention, of course, they said that they will get 50 million doses produced in 2020 and then 1.2 billion doses in 2021. Now, it wasn't clear whether those 50 million this year and 1.2 billion next year were the double dose or a single dose. Either way, even if it's a double dose, 1.2 billion in 2021, while it's a phenomenal achievement, is still falling far short of the nearly 8 billion people on the planet. And if they can only get 1.2 billion doses a year out, then we're looking at years and years to get the entire population vaccinated. And worse again, if we have to be seasonally vaccinated for it, it becomes a problem of gargantuan proportions. Now, having said that, there's the flip side of that is we still haven't heard from AstraZeneca and Moderna. And if they can produce similar numbers, then maybe we are up around 3 to 4 billion a year, which drastically cuts down the problems. But as I said, we haven't heard from them yet. What have you been hearing on this?
Yeah, I also heard that. One advantage of that newly vaccine is that it can produce in larger quantities within a short time than usual vaccine. But as you say, it will probably take a couple of years then for the whole world to get vaccinated still. Because, I mean, I think it's around 1 billion people alone in healthcare services and in other essential industries globally. And like you said, only if one single dose is required. And then, of course, we definitely need a fair allocation mechanism for the vaccine. So to make sure that, or to answer the question, who gets it first? I mean, these ethical questions then have also been considered. I think, especially in third world countries, there probably will be shortages at first, and then other problems can arise as well, like counterfeiting, for example.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a bit about manufacturing, but it's not just that. It's, you know, to our earlier point about the managing the cold chain, doing the distribution and shipping. You mentioned underdeveloped countries. You know, will they have access to refrigeration or, you know, even cold chain trucking to get them to outlying medical centers? So there's a huge amount of those challenges to be considered as well, right?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, beyond also the initial transport from the manufacturer, then the transportation, let's say, to rural or remote communities, that I think requires sophisticated logistical services that many poorer countries simply lack.
There are huge issues, you know, as well in not in distribution and logistics, because, you know, to your point earlier, 50% of vaccines today are lost through cold chain issues. And that's at a cold chain of, you know, 4 degrees C, never mind minus 70. And, you know, you talked about underdeveloped countries and the infrastructure, the lack of infrastructure there and the requirement that will need to be in place for tracking for all those. So those are huge challenges too, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, it's not just about the transport from the manufacturer to then the transporting countries, but also to transport the vaccine to remote communities and rural areas. And I think without a substantial investment to strengthen those international and national supply chains, it will take even longer for the vaccine to reach everyone who needs them.
And as long as one person is unvaccinated, the whole world is unvaccinated. Well, not quite that, but as long as one country, let's say, is unvaccinated, then there's a reservoir of infection out there. there'll be a huge requirement to completely digitize all this as well, right?
Yes, I mean, experts, they say or advise that logistics companies and also the manufacturers, that they need to be connected more tightly to ensure an immediate shipping once the first vaccine has been produced. And therefore, a logistics business network could help to connect the different business partners for these intercompany collaborations and also to give insights. And the logistics companies can use, for example, SensorTrack to coming back to the temperature or cold chain logistics problem. So to use sensors to track these temperatures that to make sure that nothing or less vaccines is getting wasted. And then alerting managers to so they can react to those potential problems in real time.
And I guess we'll have issues as well around shipping capacity.
Yes, especially the freight companies. I mean, they're already stretched thin by the pandemic. They face problems on the container ships as they're having shrinking capacity there. And also the planes, they often lack visibility. And especially the planning part of when the first vaccine is ready and is ready for shipping makes it really difficult for these freight companies to plan ahead as well.
Yeah, and we're seeing differential access as well. Some countries jumping the gun and buying up stocks before anyone else has got a chance to. That's going to lead to challenges of access for other countries as well. The whole thing is really going to be tough, I guess. The last thing that you mentioned in the article was the idea of counterfeiting. I mean, I live in Spain, you live in Germany, and counterfeit drugs aren't really an issue here, but you make the point about counterfeiting, so obviously it is an issue somewhere?
Yes, definitely. I mean, especially in the third world countries, the proportion of counterfeit drugs is quite high. I mean, especially in those countries, in the beginning, there will be extremely shortages, and then the strong demand will probably be too tempting for counterfeiters not to participate.
Yeah, I was reading recently, and I'll find where, and I'll link it in the notes, that SAP has a solution, and I'm sure we're not the only ones, but we have a solution based on blockchain to help pharmaceutical companies guarantee the authenticity of their drugs. And the same solution can also be used, in fact, for recalls, for, you know, claiming drugs back if there is an issue with them. So that might help in this instance. We're coming towards the end of the podcast now, Alina. Is there anything else that you would like to say to the listeners? Any points we've missed out on or anything that you think people should be aware of?
Yes. So besides all the challenges that we now talked about, I think we have to stay positive and we can stay optimistic. I mean, there are so many talented and also clever people on this planet, and many initiatives now. The SAP Vaccine Information Hub, for example, Tom just mentioned, we will talk about in the next podcast, that will make sure that the healthcare organizations and the science organizations can safely and efficiently deliver the vaccine in the end, to hopefully everyone in this world.
Excellent. Excellent. Alina, that's been really great. If people want to know more about yourself, or I will link to the blog post that you wrote, but any other articles or anything like that, if they want any more information, where would you have me direct them?
Yeah, so they can always visit my LinkedIn profile. There I also link all the blogs that I've written so far. And or they can follow me on Twitter. It's also a good visibility.
Tremendous. Super. Alina, that's been really great. Thanks a million for coming on the show today.
Yes, thanks for inviting me again.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital-supply-chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.